Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Sergey Karasev, Mirza Teletovich, Joey Devine, Jorge Gutierrez, Andre Kirilenko, Sean Keane, Mason Plumley, Bojan Bogdanovich, Patreons Scott Carter Eldred, Happy Birthday Scott from Damon and Mosley, the only dog who's the CEO of a company, Mouse House Books, Christine D'Amato, thank you Christine, musical guest Gary Clark Jr., and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, and we are back with another free episode, and guess what? Because Gary Clark Jr. is the musical guest, you know what that means. It means the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has put in a black blues person, because there's only one person who can perform at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when that happens. I think he's performed four times now. I mean, we'd have to ask our friend Joe Quizzala of the Who Cares About the Rock Hall podcast, but I'm pretty sure Gary Clark Jr. has performed three or four times because he is the only blues man left in the world. I guess.
Well, isn't there that blues girl, Joss Stone? Is she blues girl?
I don't know. She's probably, I don't know, man. I don't know who's a blues person. I just remember who wasn't there that white kid that played the blues in the 90s? What happened to him?
Oh, right.
What was?
Isn't he in like a John Cougar Mellencamp movie?
Yeah.
I'm going to Google white blues kid Mellencamp 90s. We'll find him. My dad kept bringing up Gary Clark Jr. every time something happened to Gary Trent Jr.
Johnny Lang. Sean, his name is Johnny Lang, and you might recognize him in case you ever went to a K-Fog Kaboom. I think he played about five of those. All right, that's a little really.
That's the biggest NBA story of the day. apparently, he's a gospel singer.
We can't talk about Johnny Lang. We have to move on. All right. Business at Round Rock Pod on Twitter. roundrockpod@gmail.com is the email. Call us on the phone. We haven't had a phone call in a while at the number embedded in the podcast description. T-shirts also available on the link in the description. We also run a blog, roundballrock.net, where Sean and I have yet to write anything for it, but our friend Big Corbs has written a lot, so that's good. And our friend NBA Couchside, Kevin Couchside himself, writing about how
Kevin O. Couchside.
Kevin O. Couchside. talking, had a real good blog about how he misses watching Zach LaVine. Five stars.
I get it.
5-star reviews on iTunes.
Every time.
Charitable.com set that as your homepage. We haven't talked about that in a while. Truthfully, because we dropped out of the rankings in Senegal, and I'll never forgive His Excellency Macky Sall. Am I forgetting any
other
business?
I still think he could turn it around because he's a kind and just leader.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Patreon.
Those are feelings.
Patreon.com/roundrockpod.
Right.
That's the most important one. We almost forgot it. Should we talk about the game tonight?
The game tonight. Yes, let's do it.
We're really talking about the game tonight, right? I mean, there were some games today, sure, but there was one game that was really good, and the rest were, like, pretty weird. Anyway, let's go to the news!
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean. Portland defeated Brooklyn to make the play-in tournament? Are we calling it a tournament? It's not a game,
necessarily. It's not really a tournament. It could be a game. It could not be a game. That is a problem with the branding. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that right now. And weirdly, it's the two to make one rule, the former NBA foul shot rule, in the penalty, I believe. People were calling it the Allen Crab Bowl. People were calling it the battle. I don't know what they were calling it. It was weirdly a game that meant very little to Brooklyn, and they played super hard.
So it was hard. Like
Tyler Johnson was trying to avenge his beloved Phoenix Suns brethren, even though they released him.
Well, let's talk about what happened earlier today.
Carmelo Anthony was almost a net, right?
Let's talk about briefly, actually, what happened during the day to set the table. So the Grizzlies won in what was a pretty boring game because the Mavs kind of didn't play anybody. And then the Suns finished in the bubble by going 8-0. Another wild game by Applebee's and butt enthusiast Devin Booker.
You should post that collection of how many times he's posted about Applebee's because it is truly great. By the way, Memphis actually beat the Milwaukee Bucks today.
Yeah, but they also didn't play anybody.
No. They didn't. They were playing like, well, I mean, they didn't have Giannis.
Sorry, I said the Mavs. Sorry, I mixed up my two games.
The Mavs just lost to the Suns,
I mixed up my two games.
Frank did play 26 minutes, so take that as...
A lot of DJ Wilson tonight, I've got to say, for the Bucks.
He was a DJ in the bubble as well. That was the main guy they hired. Tiesto had a false positive test. So actually, it was DJ Wilson most nights in the bubble, just with a Spotify playlist.
That's who Dwight Howard saw by himself.
Yeah, that was DJ Wilson. He was not very engaged. Much more engaged in the game today. So Phoenix was also... Look, Luka Doncic only played the first half. Kristaps Porzingis sat out. I don't think it would have mattered.
Mm-mm.
The Suns were on fire. They shot like 55% for the game. They shot like 60-something percent in the first half. Like... Cameron Payne was plus 20. He scored 15 points.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible. Like they Ricky Rubio only had to play 21 minutes in this game and he still got 12 assists. It was just they looked incredible. So that meant, unfortunately, the San Antonio Spurs were eliminated before their big game against the sort of tanking, who just, I guess, really didn't want to play Houston.
How do you think that Spurs meal went? Because you saw what happens after you're eliminated, right?
You get
a meal and then are immediately ejected from the bubble.
So, I mean, that's like... that feels like what happens when Coach Pop releases you from the team, too. Like, you sit down to just, like, a sumptuous meal that... It's almost like one that Hannibal Lecter would cook you, you know? I mean, not with... Pop is not serving you human flesh, but the same kind of, like, I mean, really fancy. Be. And then he, like... Yeah, and then he, like, embraces you, and you leave the Spurs forever. Do you think Pop had, like, Thomas Keller fly in for this
no.
one?
No. It's like when... I'm sure it's like a meal you get on an international flight when they're like, there's a snack here.
No, I mean, I'm sure... I mean, I know it is generally shitty. I'm just wondering if Coach Pop, like, tried to do something else.
No, because it's not Coach Pop deciding that. It's the weird... They got weird, shitty Disney food. Like, I bet...
Yeah, I'm just saying... Yeah. Go ahead.
Like, I'm sure it's like it's cold turkey legs they couldn't sell on Main Street USA that they're just dumped in.
I understand it's a super sad meal. I was just wondering if notable foodie Greg Popovich saw the writing on the wall and arranged something nicer for his team, because obviously they can't hang out in restaurants like he wants to. Mm-hmm. Like, how fucked up is that, by the way? The one time Greg Popovich has days off in the NBA playoffs, he cannot go to a single restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Sad. It's sad.
I mean, luckily, although, he's going to go just hang out in his, like, what, $5 million house in the Hate that's, like, two doors down from Steve Kerr. I'm sure they'll share a bubble, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
I think they'll probably... Pop also pretended to be really mad and not understand questions at the post-game press conference, and then was like, I'm just kidding! And everyone was really confused because you could not see his face at all. He was wearing a mask. The sarcasm did not work. The Spurs sat out, like, Mills, DeRozan, Derek White, but we did get to see Lucas Samanich cook. And we'd been wanting to see that for a while,
I mean,
right?
That team's all about Keldon Johnson now anyway, right?
Keldon Johnson kind of tore it up today.
Rips,
I will
dude.
Say, honestly, it was the Eubanks minutes that really, really got them tonight. 27 minutes of Eubanks and a guy that I will be honest, I did not know he existed. Chimeze Metu. Forward 27 minutes. So, which brought us to
tonight's
a win
playoff game was basically
a win or stay there game for Brooklyn, a win or go home game for Portland.
But can we, before we get to tonight's game briefly, haven't done an episode in a while, so can we talk about Dame before we get here?
You want to talk about him before we get to this game? Sure.
Yeah, because I want to talk about what was going on with Dame leading up to this, because I want to be honest about something here, and I know a lot of our listeners aren't going to like it. A lot of Portland fans, and we love every single one. And I, previous to, excuse me, the last few, the last, like, week or so, I loved Dame. But the narrative around Dame was making me root against Dame tonight. I'm going to be completely honest. Just, like, he's feuding with, like, 15 different people, and that's also why he's scoring 50 points a night?
That's his motivation. Not making the playoffs, it's that...
That Skip Bayless
Beverly
was mean to him?
He's fighting with Skip Bayless, which is an incredible thing to do in 2020. It feels like that... Okay, the two things that make Dame Lillard feel most like a throwback player are continuing... to take his rap music career seriously mm-hmm. and feuding with Skip Bayless. Mm-hmm. Those are definitely some like 15 years ago things to do.
And look, I don't even really think it's Dame's fault. I'm going to be honest. I mean, Dame, obviously, he's always been like he wrote a letter begging to get in the All-Star game. This
that
is just
something he did do.
Who Dame is, and you have to
look. It. I will say this: it seems like it is an effective motivational tool for him.
Sure, but the real problem here is that he's living next door to Chris Haynes, who is just breathlessly reporting every single thing he tells him.
Like, oh, he smacked down Skip Bayless, and people are like, is he still on TV? Like, I think he's with, like, Shannon Sharp now, maybe?
Like, what happened to Dame this week is, like, just the ultimate poisoning of the horrible NBA culture we currently live in, where it's like, amazing games Dame was literally having were being overshadowed by Instagram fights and access journalism.
That is an excellent point. Because Dame, okay, so this was triggered, I would say, by the game against the Clippers where Patrick Beverley celebrated too much and Dame missed two free throws down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And at first, look, like Dame is like a wonderful, authentic, he's like a try hard, but in like he just try, it's not really very performative. It's like a little bit dorky, but it's very, emphatic. Mm-hmm. And so he misses that. And he makes a point afterwards about how he thinks that Patrick Beverley and Paul George are, jealous because he has sent their teams home from the playoffs before.
Great point, by the way. Also, but in the 90s, cool. It would be like, see you next game. Can't wait for this. But instead, I had to fucking hear about it for 10 days.
Well, so the response to it came from Patrick Beverley, who responded in a like perfect Patrick Beverley way, where his response was just 1, 2, 3, Cancun. Mm-hmm. One of the funniest quotes in NBA history. Yep. Nick Sean Van Exel said it at the end of a playoff loss to the Lakers. Arguably, it got him traded off of the Lakers. Although, I mean, they just really wanted Tony Petit, Joey. When you get a chance to make a move like that. So 1, 2, 3, Cancun. Typical Patrick Beverley, annoying, but also like
funny.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And then Paul George's response was very Paul George-like, which was like, I need to actually find it here, but it was really like, we're going to send you home from the playoffs. Like no, mm-hmm. no humor to it at all. Just, and so that became the feud, Damian Lillard against Paul George. Now here are the two things I'll say about this. One, mm-hmm. Paul George is, terrible at talking. Mm-hmm. He for some reason is a great NBA player, legitimately, you know, third in the MVP vote last mm-hmm. year. Much more playoff success than Damian Lillard in his career, in fact. Mm-hmm. Like objectively way more successful. But just like every time he opens his mouth, I am sympathetic to whatever the opposite of what he's saying is. Like, there's a reason I didn't see that Terminator movie, Joey.
Oh,
it was because
Paul George
in that commercial. It was mm-hmm. that commercial with Paul George. I don't drink Gatorade anymore. I am Powerade mm-hmm. only or Monster Energy drinks. Mm-hmm.
You also didn't marry Callie Rivers.
Yes, that's true. I said no thanks. You know what? Seth Curry is a better match
for
you.
Paul George said something about
I'm
how like
stand aside.
Paul George said something about like running from the grind. What is it?
Well, Dame's response was like, well, you keep switching teams, and then Paul George's response was this like extremely hurt thing about like, I was on a much better path before I broke my leg. I play really hard, and it's like, I want to like Paul George. He's a wonderful shooter.
I'm going to be honest. I don't want to like Paul George. I want to like Damian Lillard, and they're actively making me not like him.
Yeah, you are lowering yourself when you feud with Paul George. like, there's no... Who are you fighting? Who are the Paul George fans?
And again, you know it's what I mean? Like, not even Damian Lillard or... Like, it's not even Damian Lillard or Paul George. It's Chris Haynes. That's right, the problem. Because then... It was like, okay, then they had their Instagram feud, and then it was like, then Chris Haynes, 2 days later, writes this fucking piece that's like, man, Paul George called Damian Lillard to clear the air after their family members got involved in their Instagram beef.
Like, why is...
And meanwhile, when this is going on, Chris Haynes is also reporting about how Damian Lillard is fighting with Skip Bayless.
So I'm going to say this, and I feel like this about Kevin Durant too. When I watch NBA players, Dame Lillard is obviously an incredible player, and I watch him and it's like, wow, this is someone who can do things physically. He has toughness that I can't even dream of. But then when he's on Instagram, I'm like, "Oh, you're worse than me at this." Like, "Oh, you're actually getting more offended by what someone says on the internet." For me, someone whose job is partly to be on the internet. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it just ruins it for me. Like, same with Kevin Durant, where it's like, can I just watch you be awesome at basketball? Do I have to be like sad about your humanity to watch you arguing with these nobodies? Like, it just, it, I mean, yes. And also the NBA is like, this league culture of like, oh, what an awesome clapback that was, when it's like there,
it literally overshadowed him having back-to-back 50-point games, which
like here's the Damian Lillard is on Instagram. My mom also argues with people on Instagram. I don't want them to be like can you imagine Michael Jordan making an Instagram post like that? Like, it would ruin it.
Yeah, like, who was the Wizards guy that he made up that story about? I mean, the Bullets guy?
God. His name was like, it wasn't LaRon Prophet, but yeah, it was the same structure of name.
You know what? While we're doing that, do you want to do a quick piece of reader mail here?
Yes,
please. That actually is kind of related. This comes from our friend Kopernik, who asked, what's the single most obscure player you remember, and why do you remember him?
Man, this is like kind of the thesis of our podcast in a way.
One. Do you want me to go? So while you can think
please,
of one.
Please.
Mine is, there's a man named Ronaldo Major who played.
Okay, that's
who played one NBA game. He was a G League call up. Or D-League at the time. It was the D-League. The day the Golden State Warriors traded Troy Murphy, Mike Dunleavy, Ike Diagu, someone else was in that trade, whom I forget.
The Steven Jackson trade.
The Steven Jackson trade.
Mike Dunleavy.
They had a game that night, and they didn't have enough players, so they had to call up this guy named Ronaldo Major. I believe he started. Because they only had like seven players, because they traded everybody else. He might not have started. But yeah, Ronaldo Major. He only ever played in one NBA game.
He is the all-time leading scorer in G League history.
Mm-hmm.
He's currently the head coach of the Fresno Fire of the Basketball League. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, so I'm looking at his NBA box score right now. Are you ready? Yes. One game... No, he did not start, but he played 27 minutes in very Don Nelson fashion. He shot 20%, 50% from the line, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, 5 points.
You know what? This guy would have actually been an NBA player, but the next year they found out he had a heart condition. Mm-hmm. Although somehow he still played in the G League. Yeah,
he played in the
like
G League in 2016.
Maybe they fixed his heart. That's right. Okay, I'm sorry. I believe I believe the Denver Nuggets paid for his heart surgery in 2007, and then he was okay after that. Okay, that's incredible.
That's my most obscure NBA player that I remember. And
I would say that the most obscure one is former Stanford center Tim Young.
Mm-hmm.
And he played 25 games in the NBA the 1 year in 1999 for the Warriors.
The great timeout guy.
What's that?
Is he the great timeout guy?
Yeah, that is why. Yeah, there is a absolutely horrendous Warriors commercial that essentially has it sounds like it is scored by like the Baja Men's rejected track for a Girls Gone Wild video.
I should just play it right now, right?
What's that?
I should just play it right now.
Yeah. It's a great time to have a ball. It's a great way to let it go. It's great for your basketball. It's a great
time out. It's a great time out. So yeah, that was the Warriors' Great Time Out ad campaign in 1999-2000.
Yeah,
What you can't see while listening to it is the Golden State Warriors, like one of their truly worst rosters in Warrior history.
It's
right?
It's a very bad team.
It's pre-Jason Richardson, even. So it's like.
Let me tell you who's in the commercial, Joey. We've got
Antoine Foyle, James, obviously.
Adama Foyle, who is holding maracas.
Yeah.
Mookie Blaylock, the minutes leader on the 1999-2000 Warriors. He is currently incarcerated.
Sean, what year did Pearl Jam's 10 come out? Which is, of course, named after Mookie Blaylock.
Mookie
so
Blaylock,
we can guess how old
like
he is.
7 years earlier?
Yeah.
Seven years before this?
And he'd been in the league, 5 years, you think, before that?
No, Mookie Blaylock came into the league in 1988.
Yeah.
He was on the University of Oklahoma team, I think, with Stacey King.
So I'm just trying to point out how old he was at the time.
He was 32 years old at this point. And every time they show him, he's in fast motion, which almost feels like the director being like, oh, God, this guy's the point guard. Center Eric Dampier has to give Thunder, the mascot, a piggyback ride. By the way, Thunder was a great mascot. They had to get rid of him. I thought it was because of the Oklahoma City Thunder. It was actually because the Warriors did not pay him. That guy is also deceased at this point. R.I.P. Yeah. Siddiqui Fuller.
We knew him.
He was great.
Yeah,
he was great. And then Daniel Marshall is very embarrassed. And then Tim Young is in it. He is a rookie center from Stanford. He played 137 minutes that year. And
so the best part
it's just like he wanted a white guy, I think. That's right. That had to. Why was he on it otherwise?
The best part.
He was available.
The best part about this commercial is it aired for years after this season.
Yes.
And it would always be like, who the fuck is that guy?
Uh-huh. Well, and also, it is such a weird pun that it's a great timeout. Like, it's a great time out, but a timeout isn't exciting. It's like, essentially what it said was, look, if you come, there's going to be some points where you don't have to watch the Warriors playing basketball anymore. And it's just like girls dancing or a lady is balancing.
or some white guy you've never seen before just walking around.
And then the Warriors went 19-63 that year. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have their first round pick because of trading for Chris Webber 6 years earlier.
Uh-huh.
And the Orlando Magic picked Mike Miller, and he played 16 or 17 years in the NBA. but Tim Young is the symbol of that to me.
Anyway,
he did not play for that season, by the way.
I don't quite remember why we brought that up. It was apt at the time.
He was an obscure player.
Right, but why did I bring up the obscure player? I was really proud of my transition there.
Segue?
Yeah.
talking about random...
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
Which leads us to tonight.
Yes.
Which Dame's coronation game. This is where he was either going to become the greatest player of all time because he was mad at Skip Bayless or whatever.
Now, granted, he is, just to be clear, he is tearing it up.
He's been
like,
amazing. Again,
on the court, no objections. But I just wish it wasn't like...
In fact, I would give him or Devin Booker my Bubble d'Or.
Bubble d'Or, that term invented by John Hollinger, to celebrate the best player in the bubble. And, yeah, so...
It was, let's be fair, it was invented by our friends Sean Hyken and Eric Gunderson. But let's keep moving.
So the Blazers won their last three games by a combined 7 points, and Dame Lillard...
They had to win to get in.
Facing the very tough Simmons and Embiid-free Sixers, nevertheless pulled it out behind Dame Lillard's 51 points. He then scored 61 in a gut-wrenching win over the Dallas Mavericks.
Of course, breaking Antoine Jameson's the only person to ever hold 50 back-to-back 50-point games, right? He's the only person that had ever done that.
It has to be the only one. I can't imagine anyone reaching those heights. And then tonight, Brooklyn managed to hold him to 42 points, mm-hmm. just 42 points. So, congratulations. This game was super exciting. It was really fun. I'm pretty sure there were
no one ever called a foul. They went three full quarters almost without a foul call, it seemed like.
Lillard didn't shoot any free throws till the third quarter. I think he ended up getting four shooting fouls, which is relatively low for him. There were not a lot of shooting fouls in this game. Melo almost fouled out. Gary Trent Jr., famous for his guitar work on Austin City Limits, mm-hmm. almost fouled out, but no one actually did, which is great. Nurkic was very good in this game, but also the best part was that no one played any defense at all on either team, which I know defense wins championship, but offense wins ratings, baby.
Offense wins me watching it.
Yeah, it wins my heart. That's what it wins.
Fucking freaks out there who claim you like good defense didn't have to sit through 67 to 72 point conference finals games.
The Nets and the Pistons in 2002, ruining basketball. So, great games from Tyler Johnson.
Love him.
Buddy TLC. Luwawu Cabarro finally free from his process related. He just can't. He can't play for a Hinky or a Presti. He needs a wide open. He needs to be the Nets are truly a playground team because many of these guys weren't even in the NBA on the 4th of July. Lance Thomas, Tyler Johnson, Caris LeVert went for 37. At one point, Joe Harris got into a weird shooting duel with Lillard where Joe Harris was only taking two-pointers, which seems not really the Joe Harris experience. But it was very exciting. Came down to the end. The Portland had a lead. The Nets came back on him. Portland had a 4-point lead, got cut to one. Melo missed a three, and then at the end, the Nets went no timeout, and then realized that they were also going to run the clock out.
Both of these teams fucked up big time in their last two possessions. First off, the Blazers should have went 2-for-1 in their last possession and ensured they had the last shot, but did not.
Right. Yes.
And then the Nets got the ball and
with 20 seconds left.
It was 22 seconds.
Yeah. Okay.
And they, opted to just let the defense get set without calling a timeout or running a play, which is
tight.
That was
the weirdest point. Like you go, I generally love going no timeout, but yeah, the advantage is that you like
go
push
for
it
early
up.
Offense.
Yeah. And then, so yeah, the Blazers get the ball with 37 seconds to go. They shoot after 13 seconds. Which, so they kind of,
it was crazy. Don't get, because they slowed down. They also slowed down. I was like, what are you doing?
Well, they shot both too early and too late. Now look, Melo is very open, and it would have been really tight if Melo had made that shot. But then, yeah, the Nets get the rebound to go no timeout, but like walk it up. And then Caris LeVert waits a very long time to make his move. Gets a pretty clean look, but misses a 22-footer.
It was a pretty bad look. It was like the look. You know what look it actually reminded me of? It reminded me of Damian Lillard's nemesis, who cleared the air. Remember that time Paul George yelled at C.J. Miles for taking the last shot in that playoff series where Paul George was double teamed and C.J. Miles wasn't open exactly, but he was also taking a game-winning shot in a playoff series.
Yeah.
It looked exactly like that shot. weird fall away 21-footer that's
like going
guarded,
to his left.
But
it was,
like,
it was just weird not to go to the basket, but also just weird to, like, I don't know. I mean, look, the Nets literally had nothing to play for except their pride.
Right.
So,
Tyler Johnson was the only one who had something to play for because he's a son at heart.
Yes,
Even though he was only there for a year and a half or whatever.
I mean, the real lesson of the bubble is that teams without, like, a lot, basically, I felt like a big lesson in the bubble was that a lot of NBA players are pretty good, even at the end of the bench. And so, differences in motivation and effort just go like a huge, like games where teams had something to play for and they weren't the New Orleans Pelicans.
Right.
They came through, and even against like, so I kind of think that what helped the Nets tonight was that, yeah, I know they'd locked in the seven seed, like they're playing Toronto no matter what, but Tyler Johnson is playing for money. Joe Harris was playing for money. Like all these random half season, like Cameron Payne.
Jared Allen is essentially playing. Jared Allen is essentially playing to not get traded from Brooklyn, right?
Same with Caris LeVert, yeah. Right? Like they're both. It's both like we don't want to move. You know what I mean? Like, look, they might not be that happy in Brooklyn, especially in the KD Kyrie friendship era, Super Friends Nets, but I don't think that they're also like psyched to move to Indianapolis. You know what I mean? Right. No offense, Megan Gailey or Kelly Dwyer. Kelly's on our side on that one. But yeah, it was very interesting. The game was great. Like, it's funny because I saw some people sort of snarkily mentioning, you know, like, oh, they're going to get killed by the Lakers. It's like, who cares? The Blazers just had like an NCAA tournament run. Like, what's like, yeah, so they're probably going to get swept by the Lakers. So they might even lose to the Grizzlies. I don't think they're going to lose to the Grizzlies, but, like what could be more satisfying than the week they just had?
I'll tell you what would be more satisfying. Going 8-0, baby. I'm a Suns fan now.
Oh, baby.
we should talk about the Suns. Because weirdly, I was rooting for the Suns to get in the playoffs tonight. Even though I am, if you went back and added all the mean things I've said about Devin Booker on this podcast, you'd probably have two full episodes.
Right.
But I don't know, man. There's something magical about them going 8-0. I love Cam Johnson. I'm going to say it. I love Mikal Bridges. We know.
Made fun of Cam Johnson a lot. we might even have to play that that mean Cam Johnson song I recorded at the end of this podcast.
All right, let's play that. Let's play that tonight, actually. Let's do that.
It's called What's My Age Again 23.
We're apologizing for that now. Yeah. But I don't even really like DeAndre Ayton. I hate Robert Sarver. We know how I feel about Robert Sarver. I feel the same way that old lady in Phoenix feels about him. Yep. I'm not going to play that, but for longtime listeners of the show, you've heard that several times.
Heard that clip. Yeah. But they have Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, but the also, man, watching, I'm going to be honest, dude. Watching that thing they did where they had the family members introduce them made me fucking want to cry.
I actually still have not watched that. I had to do some traveling this week. I'll check it out, though.
It's so good. First off, Ricky Rubio's family, Sean, is five different Ricky Rubios of all different shapes and sizes. There's like an old fat Ricky Rubio. There's like a less handsome Ricky. There's like stunt double versions of Ricky Rubios. There's kid Ricky Rubio. There's girl Ricky Rubio.
You couldn't possibly have a more handsome Ricky Rubio, so I understand. But is it like the LeBron's commercial, kind of? Or is it more like Ed from Ed's role on The Flash?
I'm just saying, you watch it, Sean, and you will... I understood how Ricky Rubio is the way he is, because everyone in his family is, like, telling Alexis Fed to be happy.
Is Ricky Rubio the most underrated player in the NBA?
Probably not, but it's close.
Yeah. He just... Everybody always thinks they're upgrading by getting rid of him, and then they actually are downgrading, and his new team gets a big boost, and then like he drops a triple double on Russell Westbrook in the playoffs, or he goes 8-0 in the bubble or something. Look, I'm gonna say this. Not a lot of people have mentioned this, Joey, but I think Devin Booker is a problem.
I mean, it seems like he has an Applebee's problem, that's for sure.
That is true. But it was just tight,
it was tight. No, he was fun to watch.
I was definitely kind of a hater of DeAndre Ayton at first, and watching him in the bubble, he rules, dude. Yeah. I'm way into this guy.
Here's the thing,
also,
though.
I like that he... there was some pre-draft interview he did with somebody where they were just like, man, you can really score. Like how are you on the defensive end? And he was just like, oh man, Mo Bamba's way better than me at that. I really got to try harder. So that I found that very charming.
Here's the one thing I want to caution people though about the Suns.
Uh-huh.
Because this is very Suns.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, win a bunch of games in a weird part of a season, and then everyone's going to convince themselves they're a playoff team next year, and then they go, like, they win, like, 22 games. Right?
Well, I'm going to pull up the actual season when this happened, but it's the first Hornacek year.
Yeah. It's a...
So he...
Yeah.
It's the 13-14... you know, Hornacek wins Coach of the Month.
Yeah, they think they're going to sign LaMarcus Aldridge. They signed Tyson Chandler.
Oh, God. That's right. And he almost wins Coach of the Year, and the Suns go 48-34.
Yeah.
But they don't make the playoffs. Has that ever happened to any other team, Joey?
Yeah, it happened to the Golden State Warriors.
It happened to the Warriors in 2008.
Did it happen because Don Nelson benched Baron Davis because he went out the night before on his birthday in one of those games? Yeah, that's why.
Yeah. The next year the Suns won 39 games. Yeah. They were 9 games worse. That was the year they traded for Isaiah Thomas in a pretty good deal, and then ended up trading to their
point guards.
All their point guards.
So I do want to say, that being said, I don't want to bring up, I don't want to depress Suns.
Yeah, yeah, great job.
Great job. I'm just saying,
super fun to watch.
There is something about the Suns and the Kings where they win in, they'll win in random streaks that don't matter, and then all of a sudden their ownership or their fan base convinces themselves they're going to be better than they are. But this team might be awesome. I don't know. I'm just cautioning against it.
I'm just saying that the Suns' history in this is like, I'm not just saying this past year, but like, it's just a lot of like kind of moral victories like this, where, you know, one of the most exciting plays in Phoenix Suns history is when Rex Chapman hits that amazing game winner against the Sonics. The Suns don't, you know, win that series, right?
Right.
So he does drop 42 points, but so it's a lot of that, like, oh, we came so close to the plus. We went 8-0 in the bubble and we missed by half a game. Yeah. And look, it seems like Booker and Ayton are a very nice base. They seem to have made they've kind of had a come to Jesus moment about their ability to develop a young player or even provide like a healthy environment for a young player to live in. And they're just like, you know what? With the lottery pick, we are drafting a guy who is older than Devin Booker.
But
we
also,
are going to forget these guys. We're going to trade for other people's players.
Monty Williams rules and should not have been fired by the Pelicans.
No, it didn't make any sense. You look at that team and it's like, why? I mean, look, Alvin Gentry rules too, but like, there was no reason to fire Monty Williams.
I mean, Monty Williams was like, his last few years in New Orleans are like tragically haunted. Like, his wife, like, there's so many people literally die, and they're like still playing
Ryan Anderson's
well.
Ryan Anderson's girlfriend commits suicide. He goes and, like, lives. Monty Williams, like, begins to, like, sleep in the living room next to him. And then he gets a horrible neck injury after he, like, rebuilds his emotional life.
And then Monty Williams' wife died right after that. Monty Williams rules.
He got fired for losing to the 2015 Warriors. Yeah. Like, okay.
Anyway, goodbye, Suns. Good
goodbye,
job.
Sons.
It's very tight. You can say you still haven't lost since March.
Yeah, and
I mean, the Golden State Warriors can also say that, but yeah.
Yeah, that's a sadder answer to that. Joey, do you think that the Suns' success in the bubble means they would be willing to trade Kelly Oubre Jr. specifically to the Golden State Warriors?
I mean, certainly possible.
If I were Phoenix, I would just keep him because he's a good player.
So would I. Yeah.
Like, don't get so arrogant. Like, oh, you went 8-0 without him. He was holding us back. Like, probably he wasn't.
All right. Should we say goodbye to the Spurs? I mean, we sort of talked about them already.
We sort of said goodbye to the Spurs. Yeah. Our
national nightmare is over, Sean.
With the Spurs being in the playoffs every year?
Yes. Greg Popovich hadn't missed the playoffs since, I believe, Tim Duncan, the year Tim Duncan Tim Duncan was drafted.
The only thing I was kind of hoping for, just because I thought it would be funny, not because it would be watchable at all, would be the Spurs somehow beating the Blazers in the play-in.
It would have been
and
really
just
funny.
Just like 2 decades of tormenting them, tricking them into taking Derek Anderson, Sean Elliott beating them in the 99 playoffs, stealing future Hall of Famer LaMarcus Aldridge from them.
Rudy Gay also feels like he should have been a Portland Trailblazer at a certain point.
Oh my God. Yeah, like he was just born at the wrong time. He seems like a guy who could have been on the Jailblazers twice.
And
again,
then,
he doesn't think he has any criminal record, but just he has that like, that like 2002 Blazers vibe,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, well, we're not really sure what position he plays, but we're just adding talent.
All right. Do you want to say goodbye to the Pelicans?
Oh yeah, let's say goodbye to the Pelicans. They were terrible.
Bye bye. You suck. Get out.
You know who was like especially bad, and I'm disappointed in this because I'm a fan.
Lonzo Ball
was terrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, but who cares? They're getting a new coach. Who do you think should coach the team?
I mean, they're going to go with one of these like Taylor Jenkins Ivy League guys, right?
I can't think of who the like premium coach.
I don't know why they're firing Alvin Gentry.
I think he wants to. He's old. I think he kind of wants to maybe not coach anymore. Isn't he like 65, 66 years old?
Him, then just retire.
Yeah, I mean, he might. I think it'll be a. Well, I mean, look. If you listen to the Patreon episodes, which feature are featuring George Carl's book, mm-hmm. Furious George. There's a couple situations where George Carl is clearly fired, but he manages to get the team to say he wasn't fired, and it was just a mutual parting. That happens at least twice. So I think that's what would happen. It would be like, you let him retire. Whatever. I don't think they have any bitterness. I just think that, look, also Alvin Gentry clearly had organizational instructions to develop a lot of guys, like mm-hmm. play 11 guys, play 12 guys all year. So it kind of makes sense that they weren't able to just like ramp it up.
Wouldn't it be funny if they hired Ron Adams? They're like, okay, let's try the old defense coach from the Warriors.
Yeah, yeah. They're just like, look, this is a pretty good run with Gentry. It would be so funny if they add Mike Brown. They're like, look, Zion's the new LeBron. He thrives in Mike Brown's system. And you're like, did he really? It kind of seemed like he just went one-on-one all the time. Mike, coach of the New Orleans Pelicans. I can't think of another, like, if this were it, you know, this is, I don't know. I just can't think of a dude like that they would.
I mean, I'm sure there's some like Nuggets assistant or whatever. It's just going to be like,
it just feels like
Nurse's top. Oh, it'll be Stackhouse, right? No, Stackhouse took a college job.
He's coaching at Vandy, baby.
Yeah.
It feels like this is the time where you'd bring like an older coach out of mothballs, but maybe that guy just doesn't exist.
Oh, like you know, that Jackson? Guy,
I was more thinking along the lines of George Carl. But isn't this like the point where you maybe get Stan Van Gundy and don't give him any personnel power at all?
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, that's what I'm thinking.
Should we say goodbye to the Wizards now, too? Isn't that the last team that's out?
Oh, yeah, we do have to say goodbye to the Wizards.
You didn't even put them on the rundown.
They just got eliminated so long. Were their games canceled? When was the last time they played a game? Like, were they given their final meal? By the way, that's also how people are executed. The Wizards did win their first game in the restart. So congratulations. Thomas Bryant led them to a win.
The Wizards played today.
Yeah, they did play today. I just realized that. I just didn't know if they... I mean, I guess they couldn't really send people home. There's still a schedule. But just a huge Thomas Bryant game. You know, shout out to Ish Smith.
Sean, they won today. They beat the Celtics.
It's their first win in the bubble. Jared Uthoff really came through. I have to click on this name. I don't know who Jonathan Williams, former Laker great, who spells his name J-O-H, Nathan.
Sean, the Wizards are the reason Giannis was suspended today.
That's right. Mo Wagner, who seems to attract a lot of cheap shots. We saw him try to fight the Nets at Summer League.
Yeah. Last year. Mo Wagner's tight.
I don't think he might be like a bad person, though. I don't know. But whatever. I don't care. I'm never going to meet him.
Also,
at least four headbutts. By the way, the Celtics scored 13 points in the fourth quarter tonight. who led the Celtics today? I believe it was a lot of Taco Fall action. There are some guys that. Oh, Gordon Hayward got a DNP rest. They just didn't even list like Tatum and Brown. Like they didn't play. Kemba Walker didn't play. But for some reasons, Hayward is listed with a DNP rest. I guess because the rosters are so big and he was eligible if I don't know. But congratulations to the Wizards for seemingly tanking. But not actually improving their draft position.
Also, we should say
I'm gonna throw this out here. I think the Washington Wizards are gonna win the draft lottery.
Oh, I hope not.
I think they are.
Either we should also say while we're saying goodbye to people. Hey, goodbye, Adrian Griffin, and go fuck yourself. Later.
Is there news about that? Nothing actually happened. It was
nothing
just that
happened yet. Far. But no, I'm you know, but fuck Adrian Griffin. All right, just wanted to say that real quick. And Raptors do the right thing. Sean, I think that's our episode. We'll be back next week to talk about the playoffs.
We are going to talk about the playoffs. Oh man, we're going to talk about the play-in fever.
Yep.
Unless you know, it very possible Portland will just win that first game easily.
And we better love it.
I want to see a challenge. I want to see Ja Morant. I want to see. Has Justice Winslow been playing, Joey?
No.
I'm okay.
Brandon Clark. I want to see
Brandon Clark, the stat star. I want to see
Conchar. Maybe Conchar gets in.
Oh, Conchar, baby. 1 minute, one strong minute. Somehow he was -8 in 1 minute today, Joey. I feel like that's weird. Grayson Allen, baby. Knocking down threes and knocking down people with cheap shots. Actually, I will have to say, did you see Valanciunas's line tonight?
Yeah, he had a triple-double. He was great.
26,
I watched it at
19
work.
And 26, 19, and 12. What a beast.
Yeah, he and Dylan Brooks and Kyle Anderson all fucking ruled today.
I'm happy Dylan Brooks is, look.
Dylan Brooks.
It's a fun team.
Dylan Brooks is literally the reason the Grizzlies almost didn't make the playoffs, though. He was so bad until today. All right, we got to.
He's the fallingest man in the NBA, too. And also, I want to see some Dang, baby. No more. We don't need that much Tolliver. Give me Dang.
All right. It's time to go. Sean, is there anything you want to plug?
Check out roundballrock.net, your source for NBA blogging and particularly Corbin Smith breaking down synergy highlights.
Yeah, they're great. As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where. On August 9th, I tweeted, quote, "I happen to bitch the perfect amount for someone in my situation," unquote, Malcolm. So he was quoting a character he once played on television.
Mm-hmm.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And, shut it down. Let's eat this cold food and then get the fuck out of the bubble.
June 20th, it was draft night. I'm feeling pumped. The Bulls took Kobe White. Then teams are trading back. Jackson went off the board. And then the Wizards took Rui. And that's about the time James Jones was calling me. Phoenix still loves you when you're 23. My name's Ken Johnson and I'm pretty old. My prospect ceiling is my floor. I should be better at my age. That's my age again. What's my age again? And later on, the team traded up, got Ty Jerome, a guy who really sucks, already 21, can take it to the hole, all he can do is shoot the three, and that's almost the same scouting report as me. We've almost peaked developmentally. I was born the week Fargo came out, 6 months before Dead and Me. Phoenix fans are filled with rage. Filled with rage again. Filled with rage again. Fun fact about this video, guys. The guys run naked through a Jim Rome set. He probably called him some homophobic names, and then Travis Barker punched him. Just like Jim Everett. In case that reference wasn't clear. It's Robin Sarver making picks behind the scenes. I only dominated facing teams. We'll have no defense at the front court spots. TJ Warren's in indeed. Josh Jackson's getting cut backstage. What's a tase again? And that's when I knew we'd be in the lottery. Kept in a decade full of misery. That's now 10 years of failing every time. It should be a felony. Put Robin Sarver in a cage. Disengage again. What's my age again? Seriously, Jim Rome does not like that they're naked. Trust me. What's my age again?
23. His birthday's in early March, 1996.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.